and let's just remain standing if you'd like to follow along in your scripture readings. Good to see all of you out this morning. Revelation 6, we'll read verse 3 and 4. Well, we'll just read verse 1 through 4. And then we'll read in Matthew 24, verse 6. So if you want to follow along with us just in those two readings, it's good to see all of you out. Pray one for another. Pray for those that are not with us. Lord, may always be with all of us and guide us. Revelation 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that set thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now let's read Matthew 24, verse 6. Well, let's read, reviewing back over the first seal, let's read verse 4 through 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Father, we ask you that you'd add your blessings to the reading of the word. Just guide us by your understanding. Forgive our sins. Lift us up in you that we may see, Lord, these things, because we believe that you will show us, that you will guide us. Forgive our sins, because we know that when they're forgiven, then we stand in you, perfect, clean, and whole. Bless those that are not with us today. Just take away the reasons for the ones being absent. And Father, we know that the hour is here, that things are closing out. And in this hour, then we need to, more than ever, to come together to worship you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We just reviewed, we just read both seals together. That way we could review a lot last week. But I'm trying my best to keep this down to where that we can all understand it and speak on it enough where we can understand it, that even the young ones can pick up the things that's being said, and that way we'll know more about it. But if you'd read the seal book, and a lot of the things, read your church age book and things like that, you'd see that a lot of these things are said by the prophet. But all I'm wanting to do is just kind of review it in our mind to get to a place that we can see what's actually happening. Now, we want to start on the second seal. We spent about 7 messages, I think it was, on the first seal, on iniquity. And we come down to a place that we saw that iniquity, being the mystery of iniquity, being the man of sin that sits in the temple of God showing himself to be as God in 2 Thessalonians 2, and how that came down to a place that the Antichrist would be revealed in the tribulation period, and he'd be revealed there not just as the Antichrist, but he'd be there as Satan incarnate in the beast. See, then we saw that come to an end of that work that he was doing. See, the Antichrist will finally come to an end, the work that he does. Now, if you watch it today, you'll see that the beast and the false prophet, according to the scriptures, are in Revelations 19. I don't know why it's that away, but the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire before the white throne judgment ever even comes. Or there's something out in the chronology of the scriptures, one, because it gives in the 19th chapter how that the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And then you come on over to the 20th chapter and you pick up again how that they're done away, and then you pick up the white throne judgment coming on after that. See, in the 20th chapter you'll pick up how that Satan's bound for 1,000 years, so maybe that's why it has to be that way, so he can be bound. But then he starts back off after then. He's loose for a little season after your millennium's over with and goes forth to deceive the world, you know, and things. So he has to start back out, I guess, as an Antichrist movement. You know, just the little sayings and things again. That short time might be 1,000 years. Nobody knows. Ain't no, might be a few years or might be 1 year. But yet it just says he's loose for a little season. Well, see, then your Antichrist just keeps on going. That little sayings and things just keeps right on going until it's finally destroyed, when God destroys it there at the end. And you've got all of that of the white throne judgment coming in. But just watch that, and you'll see this morning how that beast and the false prophet will be done away with. Because that's what we're trying to see by each seal. Now, whether you've caught it or not, or what I'm trying to say about the seal and how that it comes to an end, your seventh seal now, seal number 7, is the seal that shows the end of each of the other seals. In other words, when you see the end of the first seal, and you see where that ends at, that seventh seal has to reveal to you what's taking place at that place. So then we covered the mystery of iniquity and saw how did it come all the way down and come to an end. See, when it would finally, the first seal reveals that it ends in the beast being Satan incarnate. Now watch this seal and you'll see that it ends with the destruction of the false prophet and the beast. See, because it'll go right on from the false prophet that we know of, that we would call the Pope. It goes right on to the place that it would show the end then of that false prophet in the beast as it's cast into the lake of fire. And then it picks up later, see, and starts right off again with a little saying. Maybe that's the reason why. I said that, I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why it couldn't go over there as a great man of sin. It goes over there and starts again as a mystery of iniquity. You know, how long that'll be, I don't know. I know what Brother Branham said. He said Satan was loosed. It's somewhere in the questions and answers. I was looking at it on the side of my Bible a while ago. He said Satan's loosed together his subjects in the resurrection, you know, to come back up around Jerusalem and things like that. In the resurrection. A lot of that I don't understand, and I don't believe we have to understand it. If it does, then the Lord will reveal it to us. And then when he does reveal it, I'll tell you what he's revealed to me about. But now, have you seen what we're getting at? We just didn't try to take the first seal and cover it and show the Antichrist. We also picked up a point and saw Jesus Christ, you know, in the revelation coming through, how he would be revealed. Now, if you'll watch this seal, you'll catch it. As I said, you can take the Antichrist under the first seal as the Antichrist, false prophet, beast, Satan incarnate, and you can see what God's doing on the other side. Because on the other side, we found God was coming down. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and incarnate God. Well, then if you'll watch the two sides, then you'll catch it. But we didn't want to discover iniquity and say, well, that's all out yonder. We found that iniquity in us had to come to an end. So that iniquity in us has to finally come to an end. And watch this next stage and you'll see this old flesh. If I can get to it enough this afternoon, tonight, we'll see this old flesh that we really love so much and spend so much money on, and people spend millions of dollars on their flesh every year. And it ain't worth 2 cents. Not $3 or $4, because you're just a spoonful of ashes and dust and things like that. That's all you are. But yet we spend millions of dollars on that. And as it's been said, We wouldn't dare go to a restaurant and ask for a bowl of soup, and they'd bring out a bowl of soup, and there's a fly just swimming around in it, you know. Or you look down in there and take your spoon, rake it up, and there's a big old long hair laying down in that soup. Well, you wouldn't put that in your stomach for nothing, would you? You wouldn't eat that soup after that fly's been in there. You wouldn't want that soup with that hair in it. Why, you'd take it back to the owner and you'd say, I don't want that filthy garbage. But yet we'll turn right around, see. We wouldn't put that in this flesh now that we really sold glory in this thing, you know. I mean, we all think we're the prettiest people and we all think we're the most popular and everything else, you know, and we're the nicest people of all, and we have the best spirit of all. Every one of us love our own self, don't we? I mean, anybody in here hates their self? It don't matter how much we get and getting saggy and older looking and everything and getting ugly as can be, we still think we're pretty for our age, don't we? We'll pet and pamper this flesh, but we wouldn't put that soup in our stomach for nothing. And we wouldn't have that. But yet we'll turn around, as the prophet said, and take down in our soul all kind of filthy garbage. All kind of things that Satan has to pack down. We'll take that. Now, which one's most important? Our soul or our body? We better think about it, hadn't we? See, the seals are for the redemption of the body. It also reveals the redemption of the soul. But yet we're not going to get out of here. I mean, I don't care what people think or anything else. We're not going to get out of here until God reveals the Word to us. If we can see that tonight, we'll see what comes down. It may take a while on this seal. I don't know. I'm just trying to be led, just write notes, and just trying not to think about it too much, and just writing down notes as I get them, and just seeing what he'll show us this time on the seals. The first time that I preached them, you can listen to the tapes back there. I covered a lot of the things that we're covering. But if you can think spiritual enough, you'll know that I never come to an end of nothing back then. Went over as far as the fourth seal and brought an end to the Antichrist and end to the Jesus Christ and then went on from there, see. But yet, seeing now that each seal has an end to it. There's an end to what that seal reveals. And we saw that first seal revealed all the way until it ended up in the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, which was Satan incarnate in a man. Now what we want to see now is try to pick up a little thought that was in there, but yet seeing that it's Satan in another form. Now we saw from the first seal that it was a white horse rider. We saw that was throwing off the coming of Christ because he came on a white donkey riding into Jerusalem. Then we saw the Antichrist pick up down through the perversion in the ages of the white horse rider. And knowing that what he's doing, he's throwing off the second coming because Jesus comes on a white horse. And see, he had a bow. He didn't have any arrows. And the prophet said, then that showed Satan is just a bluff. See, he's just a bluff is what he is. But it says then under the first seal said a crown was given him. Now, that crown you'll see comes under the second stage of his ministry. See, the first stage is showing the Antichrist. Then we saw that went all the way. But yet, under the first seal, showing it ties all the Bible together, says he was given a crown. All right, then your second seal picks up, showing that it was the same rider. There was another horse, and it was red. It says power was given unto him that set thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another Watch the catch now. It says, and there was given unto him a great sword. See, the first seal ended up by showing the white horse rider, and something was given that white horse rider. A crown. See, he had a bow. He didn't have no arrows, but something was given him. A crown was given him. When was that crown given to that white horse rider? Under the second seal, the second stage of his ministry, he becomes a crowned false prophet. See, I don't have anything in the world against whatever this Pope Paul's name is overseas. I don't have nothing against that man. He's a fine man. He would probably give you the shirt off his back. He would probably help you in any way in the world. Brother Brown said, I ain't got nothing against Catholic. He said, if it hadn't been for a Catholic there when they was redoing the tabernacle before the seals was preached, he said, if it hadn't been for the Catholic, he said, we couldn't have got this building redone. One time one of the Catholic men came to him and told him, Brother Branham, because of a person that was healed in his ministry there that was a Catholic, said every Catholic in the world would come to your aid if you needed them. Well, see, then after all that was, he saw what the system of it was. He wouldn't join up with the denominational systems. He was born from a family that were Catholic. And then when the Lord got a hold of him, he went down and joined the Baptist church. But yet I'm sure he was an odd duckling from the very beginning, because even though Dr. Davis had ordained him into the ministry in the Baptist church, even though he ordained him, he wouldn't let him baptize him in titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He made him baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he was already a prophet. But he said when the seals were preached, he said, see why I've been against them denominational system? He said, I've tried to stand in the middle and preach. And you listen to his early ministry tapes before the seals was preached and listen to the way he preaches. He would try to stand between. He said, I'm not taking sides with any denomination. He'd try to stand there as an independent feller to preach the gospel and go in among them and preach and all. But his popularity just faded away because he got to preaching stronger and stronger against organized religion. Then when the seals broke, he said, now I see why. That have always been against that. But see, a Catholic today don't go to a Catholic church this morning and go through Mass and all of the rituals and the things that they go through. They don't do that because that they don't know. I mean, because that they're, you know, they say, well, they ought to know better and do that. No, they don't. They're taught that as being right, and they believe that to be right. They're taught those things, that they're right. You children have been taught from the very beginning of, say, as a child, that this is your right hand and this is your left. Well, it might not be. See, we've been taught that that's up and that's down. What if you're on the other side of the earth right now? If you was on the other side of the earth, you know what you'd be saying? That's up and that's down. Well, now both can't be right, can it? But the way we're suspended in space and the earth and the way everything is, that's up and that's down. But that's just what we've been taught. But if you could find a point from out here of the North Star and look back at the earth, you'd have a top side and a bottom side. Well, see, then we don't know what we're talking about in our scientific knowledge. It's the Word that is true. All right, what in the Word do you find? How's up in the Word? That's up in the Word. Because the more you go down, the more He'll take you up. See, it's totally reversed from all scientific knowledge. Well, they don't go in there to be that way, and we don't have anything against those people as far as that. My family are Methodists and Baptists and things like that. There'll be plenty of people in heaven outside of the bride of Jesus Christ. We don't have anything against those people. But we're just trying to take the Word and stay with it and go in the rapture. And if they'll take the Word themselves and go, they can go. Now, if they turn down the word, then whose fault is it? See, the Antichrist system is so deceiving, as we read in Matthew there, but you read Matthew 24 there, about 24, where it said it would be so deceiving it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. That man over there is an honest man. He probably prays more. I'm talking about the Pope, because that's the man we'll be covering under the false prophet. Just for something you can see it. But that man probably prays more than every one of us in here put together. That man probably fasts more than all of us put together. That man probably gives away to the poor and needy and the things of the people more than all of us put together. You probably couldn't touch his life. Of course, we've heard stories of popes and things, and we get all that in our mind and think all of them's that away. Well, they might be. But they might not, too. But that man don't go in there to be that, to be a devil. He thinks he's serving God. A preacher that's in these denominational systems, he ain't preaching there because he's a devil. He himself is a human just like anybody else, and he wants to serve God. But yet he's been taught all of his life little things until it's come down to the place, see, that when you present the word to him, he'll deny the word because of what he's been taught. See, that's how deceiving Satan is. He brought that early church. We'll try to get to that tonight. That early church that was standing there with the word of God. He kept on clicking at that early church until he took it clean down to the stump that went into the ground. Now that's how deceiving it is. And you say, oh, bless God, I ain't deceived. Well, you might find out you are. So I ain't deceived. The prophet of God was until the seals broke. The man you claim to be the messenger that you're following was deceived until the seals broke and showed him what the white horse rider was. So let's don't toot our horns and say, oh, I ain't deceived. Other people are deceived, but bless God, I ain't deceived. Now you find out you are. But see, now, let's watch this, because under that first seal we saw it come to a place that it revealed all of those stages, and it revealed us where we were and how the Word would come in there and do its work, save the soul of the person and take away our iniquity. And then the Word would have to come and take away the iniquity of the flesh. All right, if you'll watch the sealed book then and read it, you'll see that the iniquity goes out as the Word is revealed. Now, it takes the revealing of the Word to take out the iniquity. It won't be done just because you say, well, I'll go pray and get rid of this. It won't do it that. It has to be the Word. The Antichrist is so deceiving, it has to be the Word to take him out. Because only God would know the difference in the two. Now, let's just look at something now, because watch what the prophet says this second seal picks up now. And if you'll read your second seal, you'll see that he used the first seal as a foundation to come to a place that he would say the things that he'd say on the second seal. Then when you get to the third seal, watch him. He'd go all the way back to the first seal, come all the way up through the second, and then he'd preach his message. When he got to the fourth seal, he went all the way back to the first, come all the way through, and ended up on the fourth thing. See, just watch that as you study. Watch his background now. But he says now, this is 2:11 of the seal book. Says, now notice, let us now consider what John saw then as these things, what he saw, a red horse, and his rider goes forth, power given to him to slay with a great sword. And here is my revelation of it. This is Satan again. It is the devil again in another form. Now watch what he said. He said, it's Satan again. Now I want to read the rest of the paragraph in a few minutes, so I'll just hold that. He said, it's Satan again. It's the devil again in another form. First we saw him. The basic thought of the first one is what? The Antichrist. Spirit. That was the basic thought of it. It carried all the way through and showed the end of it. But the basic thought when the first seal was the Antichrist spirit. See, now watch your second seal pick up and carry on from your first one, because it said, and a crown was given unto him. See, it was given later. It wasn't given right there at that time. It was given later. Those little deceiving statements and thoughts that the Antichrist kept creeping into the early church with, until it got them to a place that they would believe what the devil would say, you know, through the people and the deceiving. He naturally had to start out destroying the revelation of one God. So that was his first attack. He knew that he couldn't come and be anything and get what he wanted to get and be in a one God. So what did Satan start out doing? What did that little Antichrist spirit start out doing? It started just slowly attacking the true revelation of one God. Until, as I told you the other day, if you look it up in the encyclopedia at 325 A.D., that was what they were in the argument about. Whether there was one God or whether there was three gods. See, that was the argument. It came at the early church when the council was brought in. Brother Branham in the reading from the Nicene Fathers said those prophets come in there out of the wilderness like John was, you know, that just come out of the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. And he said, come in there and fought that thing for days after days trying to keep that early church from going into that system. But said, they killed those prophets and run them out. Said they wouldn't listen to them. And that thing was so deceiving, it just kept on creeping in until when they got through with that council, they agreed that it was God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, and come up with a Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine of God in three persons, co-equal and co-eternal. And that's a very poor language that they'd use, especially educated scholars back then. It had to show that the devil was the author of it, and that he would deceive man's mind so much until he would take over, because how could you have a son co-equal with a father? I mean, now you have children, there's no way they'll ever be co-equal with you. That'd make them your father, and you'd be their father if they was co-equal one with the other. That ain't even common sense, let alone revelation from the Bible. But yet Satan had crept in so tight. And what's the next now? Co-equal and co-eternal. Now how could a son be eternal? We found that we are not sons of Jesus, that was the Son of God. We're sons of God. Our God made manifest in our flesh. That's what makes you a son of God. What made Jesus a son of God? Because God was in flesh. Called a son of God. See, not co-equal and co-eternal. Son can't be co-equal with his father, and he can't be eternal. He has to be made eternal. See, when you're made eternal, then you'd be God in human flesh. But see, that's how deceiving now that thing crept in. This slowly, gradually, until it come to another form that the prophet said. All right, now, he said it was another form. If you look on 201, he said, using Joel like cankerworm, palmworm, a locust, caterpillar, showing that it's in the scriptures. He said, here we see that it's the same worm all the time, you know. A locust, cankerworm, palmworm, the caterpillar, you that know your bugs and things know that's different stages of the same bug. One time it'll be a worm, like in your little cocoon thing. The next time it'll come out and it'll have wings like a locust. Next time it'll be a different stage. See, each one of them, the stages are the same old bug, the same worm. He said, now hold that point. He said, that's what these seals are. And then when you get over to 183, look at that real careful where he says, here we are stripping Satan down by the word. He said, now we're stripping him down by the word. All right, then what does the first seal show? Watch it strip him down now by the word. Watch it strip Satan down. What does the first seal reveal? Antichrist had a bow, but no arrows. Shows he's a bluff. Brother Brown said, one of these days you'll see that Satan is just something along the way. He just bluffs. You remember him telling about that great spirit that come at him, you know, and kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and he took his muscles of faith and went back at it. And another man told about it one time, too, how that the devil would holler boo at him, and he'd just shrink down smaller, and the devil would get bigger, and he just started hollering boo back at him. First thing you know, the devil went the other way. See, he's a bluff. Now, don't dare call his bluff until you know what you're talking about. Now, you better not do that. You'll find out he ain't as much a bluff as you think. The word reveals him as a bluff. You think the Pentecostal people that didn't know what the seal was, you think they can go out and call Satan's bluff? Well, they wouldn't even know anything about it. They don't know he's a bluff to start with, but you think they can call his bluff? No, they can get caught with it. First thing you know, they're on his side. Pentecostal man told me one time at work, said I don't even pray for God to cast out the devil anymore or something like that. He said the devil said he don't even bother me. Said he ain't even nothing. Said I'm working on commanding the Lord. He quoted the scripture out of there where it says, command ye me. And I walked away from that man shaking my head because I knew that was a very deceived person. That doesn't mean we command God. That means we take His word and stand on it and believe it, and He'll come on the scene and do the work. It doesn't mean command Him like, Lord, I order you to heal that person. You don't order God to do nothing. And you better know where you're standing when you call Satan's bluff. See, we don't see it as it's really seen. What about the time when Brother Branham called that devil's bluff in that woman when she went out on that dance floor, you know, in his early ministry and come back to him to his house there? And he was standing there and she told him what she had done. And he said, Satan, said, this is the child of God. You get away from him. He said, about that time, a big, great, hairy thing come out of her and started right towards him. He said, Lord, said, in other words, he cried out to God. He said, in Jesus' name. He said, and that thing went away, turned away from him. You better be careful when you call Satan's bluff. You better know where you are in the Word, because he's going to come back at you, and you know what he'll use against you? He'll use the Word. He's always done that. He'll use the Word against you and call your bluff. You'll find out something's wrong then. See, I faced that in there. So if you got enough power to cast this devil off me, cast it off. And I had to walk out. I had to walk away. Because I didn't have the power. But I was honest. See, where are you at? I was honest. But just think now. He's a bluff. The seal reveals him as a bluff. When you see him in the Word, you'll see Satan is just a bluff. He's a perversion. But now, a crown, it says, was given unto him. The crown was given unto him after that first Nicene Council. It was way on over there about 606 somewhere along in there. Or at least it was between 325 A.D. and 606. somewhere way later from 325, that thing that was taught of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that began to be taught, that thing began to move and gain ground as more people believed it, and it became power. Until it come to a place that they took bishops and made them archbishops, and one over the other one. Read your church age book, how that they alleviated it one over the other one, until it come out to a false prophet. Well, when it come out to that false prophet, then he was given a crown. See, when it come to a pope, he was given a crown. You go over and look at it. It's the triple ruling crown of Italy that he's got sitting there. But see, in that crown then was another form. The first seal connected it together and went into the second, and Satan is revealed in another form. And then you can see him through the Word. Let's just look at him just a minute in the Word, just as Brother Branham brought it out. 195 and 196 of the seal book. Now, he was first called Antichrist. The second stage, he was called a false prophet because that spirit among the people become incarnate. Now, listen. That Antichrist spirit, that's what I was wanting us to see on that first one. It didn't have to wait until over yonder in the tribulation that it becomes Satan incarnate. That very spirit of the Antichrist become incarnate. What's the spirit of the Antichrist become incarnate? In a man, and they crowned him as a pope. When it comes over there, it will be the beast and Satan himself totally incarnate. Not just his little Antichrist saying, but totally incarnate devil then. See, watch what the prophet says. It says, that spirit among the people become incarnate. You remember the white horse rider? Now had no crown when he started. But then he was given a crown. Why? He was the Nicolaitan spirit to begin with. Then he became incarnate in a man. And then he was crowned and received a throne and was crowned. All right, now he received a throne there and was crowned in his second stage. Because that's what your second seal reveals, is the second stage of this Satan white horse rider turned in same rider. So you don't change riders into four rider, four seals there. It's the same rider. He just got off a white horse and got onto a red one. Then the Bible said he went forth conquering, and there was wars and rumors of wars. Then he was given a great sword. So now let's just pick up from there now and go on. You read also 202. Satan's Trinity, the same person coming, just incarnate from one to the other. That's the way those bugs did, them worms, one to the other. Exactly. Nicolaitan, spiritual Antichrist. Pope, false prophet. The beast, the devil himself incarnate. He said you can't do it. Now you just keep on that on your mind. When you follow this, you're going to see these writers come right straight up to that. And I'm laying a picture here of it. In other words, showing you the Antichrist, false prophet, beast. But now let's just pick it up from 212. We read on 211. When this awful deceiving spirit, oh man, incarnate spirit, listen to what he says now, this doctrine spirit, incarnate spirit now, this doctrine spirit became incarnated to take the place of Christ into a man. It must be worshiped then, turned to be a worship like Christ. We'll read the rest of these in a minute, but just think now. What does this form show him as? What does this second seal reveal Satan as? As he came down in the doctrine from just being the Antichrist and a spirit, until that spirit become into a man so much, until that man believed that he could sit in the temple of God and show himself to be as God, and down through the ages he's done that. not waiting over yonder. We won't be over there to look at it. We've got to look back and look now to see what's going on. And we can see Satan then come in as an antichrist spirit. And his doctrine. Read your church ages and see what it covers on them. First was a deed. Second was a doctrine. Then it became a law. See, deed. Just little sayings. Just little things are being said, you know. We don't understand the Bible really rightly, so we ought to get together and let the educated people figure it out. And Brother Branham said they got started there in that Nicolaitan doctrine. He said they got to talking about how that they needed a better church to worship in. And he said they needed nicer buildings. He said then the first thing you know, Constantine and them come along, give them buildings, give them everything, you know, until it had the church deceived. And he said, when you do that, he said, and he gave an account of himself. I know it was back in his early ministry when he said, like a man come in and offer to build you a $500,000 building or something. You know, one time there was a man offered to build him a $5 million tabernacle. The First Baptist Church in Gainesville in the 60s, long in the 50s and 60s, built a church there, and this was on back before then. What would be a $5 million building that would have been built, say, in 1950 or 1960? The First Baptist Church in Gainesville was built along about that time, somewhere right about 1960. And it cost $1 million. And it looks like it covers a 10-acre field. I've been in it and walked down it. You sit back in the back. It's so far, and it's got all kind of lights in it and columns in it that you can't even reach around and sit in the back of it. We went one time when we was in the Baptist to an M-night meeting or something that they had up there. And you sat in the back, you'd have to have binoculars to see who was preaching. You could hear him, but for sitting in the back, you'd had to have binoculars to note who he was. That big of a church. And the man offered to build him a $5 million building. But this incident he's talking about, he said, like a man offered to build you a $500,000 bill, he said he's got a little crow to pick somewhere down the line. He's got some little crow that he's wanting to pick along the line. He said he'll come in and said, you can't preach against that because old brother so-and-so is the financier. But look how deceiving now, this little thing. I'm trying to get you to see by illustration just how easy Satan works it in. Then when he gets it in there, see, then he clamps it down. Well, that all down through them early ages, it was just little sayings. But then it become a doctrine. See, then the Catholic Church had a doctrine that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, and they asked the Catholic priest one time, would there be any Protestant saved? Said, well, yeah, maybe a few if they'll believe in the Trinity. And they'll admit it's not in the Bible, but yet they say their church taught that. Well, where will we live? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, or whatever we come out of? We were taught their doctrine. And watch that. That's spiritual death to be taught a doctrine. But this Pope come to a place under that doctrine that he became vicar. He become the one who stands in. And then St. Augustine of Hippo, I believe Brother Brown refers to it here in the seal book, where he had read it and gives what book it was in. He got the revelation from God when he rejected the Holy Spirit and wouldn't let it come on him. He got the revelation from God that it was all right to kill people because it was better to make them worship God by force than it was to just turn it loose and not worship God at all. So, what happened? That was made a law. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? How many's read any in that? when they take a man and tie him down to a log and turn wild dogs loose on him. Not something that somebody just concocted. I mean, it's authentic history, or they couldn't print the thing. Tie a man to a log and try to get him to deny the Jesus that he was worshiping and accept the Catholic Church, and turn wild dogs loose and let them start from the back end and eat him up. Take women that were pregnant and cut the babies out of their stomach and throw them to the dogs and pour gas on them and set them on fire. In the name of religion, you turn down the Holy Spirit, you'll go to anything. You think you won't, but you better be careful now. You turn down the Holy Spirit and the Word, and you'll be turned over according to the Bible to your desires. See, I don't want to just preach about a pope under this thing. Show you, well, that second stage is a pope. What about us popes? You turn down the Word, you'll go to your desires. That they sang and worshiped Jesus and having sex acts every day with one another because they say, it don't bother me to do that. Homosexuals ordain preachers and have a homosexual act on the very stage in the church itself to prove that the man can be saved. In religious realms. And then we don't think much about the Pope that way, do we? We don't think much about the false prophet in our lives. We think about the false prophet, the Antichrist, that's a pope, you know. When, as I said to start with, that man probably prays more than we do and everything in the world more than we do. Probably morally better man than any of us. But yet we look down on him, you know. Yeah, bless God, I know the truth. That's who he is. What about us popes? What about the people of this message? There's never been a Baptist church that was ever deceived as much as the people of this message are deceived. Just believe Brother Branham was a prophet and you'll be all right. That's a pope. Because it's a false prophet to an Antichrist system. There's people in this message that sat down and drank and stuff like that, claiming to be following this message. Some that claim to halfway believe it and everything, been around it their lives, have concubine wives. I mean, all kind of things like that. Claiming to believe this message. I'm talking about preachers. I ain't talking about just what the laity does. The laity's going to do what the preacher does. There's no more popish nowhere because it's a false prophet to an Antichrist system. It's a man that has taken the doctrine. What leaves me and you out of it? That false prophet is a man that has taken the doctrine of the Antichrist. Then he's turned over to his own desires, according to Romans, that he can do anything. And you got homosexuals then that are spoken of in Romans that can do anything and make light of you that don't do those things. Then where are we at? Can we see the second stage of the Antichrist? Can we see where he's at here among us? Not just look at you and say, yeah, that's Satan in another form. That's the devil in another form. Yeah, we know that. That's the Pope. That's just one you can see from what you're studying here, because Brother Branham somewhere, I believe it's 265 and 266, let's look at it. He said the Bible don't even call him a Pope. And the Bible didn't call him a pope. The Bible called him a false prophet. Why? Of course he must be a false prophet by his Antichrist spirit that taught Antichrist against the original Word. So it would have to be a false prophet. Take Revelation 16:13 and read about your false prophet. They don't call him a pope. Revelation 19 and verse 20. Revelation 20 and verse 10 and see about your false prophet. But now, that man, see, is a... believes. That man that we read there a while ago, where we'll read it in a few minutes on one of the quotations, I know. St. Augustine of Hippo, he rejected the Holy Spirit, and when he did, he went back and wrote that God gave him the revelation. It was better, and it's in the Church Age book. If you want me to, I'll get it and read it to you. Where that Brother Branham and him was taking it right out of the book of what the man said. And you know what the man used to prove his point, that it was better to make a person serve God by force than to let him go on and die and not serve him? You know what he used? Used the Bible. Used the Bible to prove his point with. You know what he was using? He said many, like Peter, served God out of love. You remember when Peter was called, he went with the Lord Jesus. But he said there are those in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul, that had to be forcefully knocked down on the road to Damascus. The man was using the Bible to prove his point. That you could kill somebody. Use physical force to try to make them serve God. And it's better to do that than to let them go on and not serve Him. But now just think. First seal, he showed him with a bow. See, this is the Spirit. Second seal showed him as a white horse rider with a sword. We saw the two connect together with the crown. See, the crown was given to that false prophet. And you read your second seal about all the things about the crown and the triple ruling crown of Rome, Italy, where he became king of Rome. And how many knows right now that Rome is a government inside of a government? The Vatican City rules Rome. Rome is a government. It's Italy. It's a government. It's a land. It has people that runs it just like all the rest. It has senators and representatives just like everything else does, like we have them here in the United States. But the church is the final authority. Well, see, that's what it was then during what is called in history the Dark Ages, that we'll pick up later and cover some of. During those Dark Ages, for about 1,000 years, they had what they called the Dark Ages. And it was so dark through there that the Christians was being killed, and the Catholic Church called it the Millennium. That's why you've got your doctrine that's basically Baptist that has a lot of it. You've got a post-millennialist and a pre-millennialist. You've heard that? You that were Baptists know those words were used. You had one group of people that believed there wasn't going to be no millennium. You've got another group of people in the Baptists that believe there are going to be a millennium. Well, where do you think that comes from, that there ain't going to be a millennial reign that they believe? It comes from the Catholic that believe the millennium's already been, because they had 1,000 years that the Roman Catholic Church ruled the known world. They ruled the world there. Until Luther come out with that thesis and nailed it up and said, the just shall live by faith. They were still killing them after he come out. But he protested that and brought in your Protestant Reformation. But see, that church gained so much power until it controlled the whole world. Over there in Rome right now, they had a big, Brother Johnson was telling us about it. His mother-in-law's a Catholic. She gets the magazines and the things from them. They had a big scandal about something that was tied up some way with a couple of the guys that were outside, you know, the Vatican City there. They were just out like priests out in the the country. And they had something that came up about those that they was fixing to arrest them. You know what the Catholic Church done? They just called them home. They can't go get them now. They can't arrest them. Called them back within the Vatican City. They can't arrest them. Why? Because Rome, Italy is a government. The Rome part there, the Catholic Church is a government itself and rules, and it's a country within a country. Like the story told, I remember it in the movies years ago. They could fire. I remember when Brother Branham said that about that the soldiers could shoot at that, what was it, Westminster Abbey or something. They was one of them places over there that the Germans got into and they could shoot at it, but they couldn't shoot when they got into this Catholic place. They wouldn't even let them drop bombs on it. I remember that in the old movies. I've seen movies about them where they wouldn't. You ain't never seen a movie where it said all roads lead to Rome? But listen, church. What I want you to see is what they were doing now. Now watch it for a few minutes, what they were doing. He had this second stage, this second form that Satan was working in. He was given a sword. Now watch that sword. He was given a sword that he might take peace from the earth. And we read it in Matthew 24 that there'd be wars and rumors of wars. All your basic wars you'll find are caused by things like that. Just like communism raising up. It raised up to destroy Catholicism because the Roman Catholic was ruling the things, and communism over in Russia put the Catholic Church out. See, what about all this here in the United States? What about all of this things across the country like the Kennedys and things like that? When they can just stop, hush, hush, and stop all the talk. About all of the things that happened in the Kennedy family that were Catholic. About all of them. See, you can see it in our day and know what's been going on. But now listen. What does that sword pertain to? Let's just watch him for a minute. What does that sword pertain to? Because he was given a sword. See, first you saw in the first seal, you see him with a crown. That's the triple ruling crown of Rome, Italy. Second seal shows him as a red horse rider. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, was that a great big, you know, we didn't take the first seal like I told you. My brother-in-law believes it's a great King Kong beast walking like this, you know, that's the Antichrist. Now, that won't deceive nobody. We know that. Well, then are we going to look at that and say, well, now look, boy, he's got a sword now. He's going to start killing. What was that sword that he was using? What was it? Here is my 2:11. Here is my revelation of it. Satan again in another form. The devil again in another form. We know that that seal pertains, as I said the other night, the trumpets pertain to civil war amongst the people or among nations. But you find out here that this man has a sword, so he pertains to church political war. You might not think that, but just watch it in a minute, just in a few minutes. He talks about the horse representing power. How did he was incarnate? Watch him come down now. In other words, 2:12. We'll read 2:12 and I believe 2:14 then after this. In other words, over the Vatican, now I have been there, it is written, now watch his words, vicarius filii dei. It's wrote in Roman numerals. Now you just draw a line at the bottom of those Roman numerals and it means instead of God. That's what that vicarius filii dei means. It means vicar, one who stands in. In other words, he's a vicar. You know what a vicar is? He takes the place of something. He is the vicar instead of the Son of God. The Bible said, let him that has the gift of wisdom count the numbers of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, if you take vicarius filii dei and draw a line, I've got it at the house if any of you want to see it. where another man put out a book on it, and I've got it to where if you want to see it. But he says to do it this way. You take vicarius filii dei and draw a line, the Roman numerals, V for five and I for one. He's showing you Roman numerals come down. Some of them, like maybe a C represents 50 or something like that. You've got your Roman numerals. Take vicarius filii dei and add it up and see if you ain't got 666. See, it says he that hath wisdom, let him count the number of the beast. Everybody's looking for the mark of the beast, 666. See, they think that'll be stamped in your forehead. It doesn't say on your forehead. It says in your forehead. It doesn't say it'll be stamped on it. It's in your forehead. It's in your brain. Your brain is in your forehead. Your part in the front here is what you think with. You've got two or three sections of your brain where that one of it is an unconscious part. Like when you go to sleep, it keeps everything working in your body. But in your front part of your brain is where your thinking is at. So what have you got, the mark of the beast? 666 on your stamped in your head? No, that's plumb silly. It's in your forehead. You take their same doctrine that they've got. You say, oh, it don't make no difference where you teach one God or God in three persons. That's Catholic. You've got that in your forehead. You got that from somebody. Somebody told you that, and you got that from somebody. It's in your forehead. Because it never was taught but one God. Trinity never was taught till the Catholic Church picked it up, and then his doctrine is what he does. Now watch, it's his word that he uses, because it's a sword. The sword, everybody always taught, oh, this is a two-edged sword. Satan took not a sword, not a knife. It went into that because it was what it went on to do. But his doctrine from his lips is what killed the people. He gave the right, like I said about St. Augustine of Hippo, he gave the right from his lips to kill the people. He never probably killed nobody. He maybe never touched nobody or anything, putting them to death. But it was his doctrine, his sword. You remember the last time we covered it on the seal? We went all the way back to the Old Testament to see that Cain, under the first seal, had a little deed. Then under the second seal, it became a doctrine. And he killed Abel on account of his doctrine that he had. See, he said, I'm offering fruit. Abel says, now that's not right to offer fruit. You're supposed to offer a lamb. He said, I ain't going to be no murderer. I'm going to offer the fruit, the works of my hand. And God rejected that sacrifice that Cain made it there in Genesis. And when he did, what did he do? He went out and killed his brother Abel on account of it. That right there come all the way down through the church, all the way from the very beginning. When you see killings, you see that second seal coming throughout the Bible where it spoke of. Then here in the seal book, when he picks it up, he takes it back to the Catholic Church and what they're doing with it. Now watch, the Bible said he would be sitting in the temple of God, worship like God. When that little doctrine become incarnate, it become a vicar instead of the Son of God. Oh my, that awful deceiving spirit. If you want to read that, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, you remember? It didn't just reveal him as an antichrist, it revealed him as a man of sin sitting in the temple of God. Satan is head of all political power of every nation. Now you think about it. Every nation in the world. You remember when Jesus was there in his temptations in the wilderness? To show you Satan controlled all political power? When Jesus was there in the wilderness, Satan came to him, and what did he say? He said, I'll give you all of these nations of the world, kingdoms of the world, if you'll just fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It is written. He used the word against him. What was Satan doing? Offering him the kingdoms. Every kingdom of the world belongs to the devil. Well, my Lord, you can read the laws of our land, find out if you ought to know enough about that. The laws of our land are so crooked to a man, you ought to know enough to know that. But now listen, look on 2:14. He said he controls all the political powers. All right, now he's used the scripture to show you this second seal stage has political power. He controls all the nations of the world. Now watch him as he gets to the ecclesiastical power. You remember over in Revelations 13, that's on page 13, 213, 214. You remember over in Revelations 13, it speaks of how that a lamb came up with two horns? Now, a lamb don't have a horn. The lamb came up with two horns. That's civil and ecclesiastical powers. That's what the prophet said they were. The two horns it represented. Civil, which is governmental power, and ecclesiastical, which is spirit or church, political. See, now he's showing you that the natural governments of the world, civil, belongs to Satan. Now he picks up and he goes on through, it's on page 215 where he covers St. Augustine of Hippo, how that he went back and wrote that it was right to kill the people to make them serve God. Picking up an ecclesiastical power. Now watch what he says. Isn't that strange? They was given this sword to kill one another. Oh my, notice. When he did that, he did not have this ecclesiastical power yet. Listen. In other words, when he first started, he didn't have it yet. But he started. In other words, Satan had power over the world, if you catch what he's saying. He had power over every nation because he offered it to Jesus. But he didn't have the ecclesiastical power yet. But he started in with a demon of a false teaching. And that teaching became a doctrine. That doctrine became incarnate in a false prophet. And then he went just to the right place. He never went to Israel now. He went to Rome, Nicaea, Rome. The council was held and they elected a head bishop. Then by doing this, they united church and state together. Then he dropped his bow, he got off his white horse, he got on his red horse, and he can kill anybody that does not agree with him. There is your seal. It is the same fellow. Then he covers on the next page how that St. Augustine of Hippo gave the right under the ecclesiastical power to kill the Christians. And he said, according to their own martyrology book, 68 million Protestants were killed. And where's the Catholic Church ever apologized for that? Now, you show me in history or anything that they've ever apologized for that 1,000 years of rule that they were doing, that they killed by their own martyrology. 68 million Protestants. You say, oh, we're living in a different day now, Brother Dale. Why, they wouldn't kill nobody now. I've got a piece of paper at home that you sign in your own blood. It's called the Oath of the Knights of Columbus, and everybody looks around and sees these little signs of the Knights of Columbus. That's the highest ranking Catholic order there is. And you know what that Oath of Columbus is on? Knights of Columbus Oath, you know what it says on it? And it's on record from Washington, D.C., the books and everything that it's in. They sign it in their own blood. To kill anyone contrary to the Catholic Church. To use knife, rope for strangulation, or any other form. To kill anyone contrary to the Catholic Church. Now they swear it in their own writing in blood. That's the Knights of Columbus, the highest order. You think they won't do it again? They done it before. What would you base it on to say they wouldn't do it now? Why, I know a good old Catholic saint that lives over right next to me, that she's a good old woman, and oh, she just loves me to death, and maybe she's my nanny or my great-grandmother or something else. Oh, they just love us to death. They wouldn't hurt nobody. I ain't talking about that person. I'm talking about those people that will kill you. And she's part of the system and has to go along with it. Oh, she ain't. Well, yes, she's part of the system and goes along with it. I don't care if it's your mother and your daddy. What do you think the Bible's talking about? Said when it come a time that they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. That's what Jesus said about it one day. In other words, that St. Augustine of Hippo, if you ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, they'd hold a cross up in front of that person that they was fixing to kill, and they'd say, will you deny that Jesus you're serving and to believe it the way we teach it? Well, it sure would be funny, wouldn't it, for you to stand there and say, what do you mean? I believe Jesus. Do you believe Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Well, I believe him to be God. What do you believe? I believe him to be the second person of the Trinity. I pray to the Lord Jesus, and he answered. Well, I pray to Mary, and she answers me. Religious system. And they'll kill you, the Bible says, thinking they're doing God a service. There's plenty of people that would like to shut my mouth. Oh, they wouldn't want to hinder me. They wouldn't want to stop me. They wouldn't want to dare lay their hands upon me to harm me in any way. But they stopped my mouth from preaching anywhere else besides here in Brother Woodby's. Now, if you think it won't work, that's what they've done. You notice everybody comes here. I don't go nowhere else. The only place I can go and preach and am invited to go preach is up Brother Woodby's church. You think they haven't done it now? You think that same spirit ain't here? It's hearing the people of the message. They've cut me off, and Brother Colley can go with and verify it if you want him to, that we could go sit down and try to fellowship and can't. Because we're cut off. People are treated like dirty dogs just because they're in my presence. Just because they associated with me, they're made outcasts also. They want to shut my mouth. But they will when the Lord gets through. They'll shut it right here when the Lord gets through. But who worries about that? We ain't talking about some little old sissy-fied idea of, oh, we're all going to heaven, we're all good people, and we're all going to the same place. We might not be all going to the same place. When that Roman Catholic Church back there, United Church and State, they had power of ecclesiastical, that's the government side, and a civil, that's the government side, and ecclesiastical, that's the spiritual side of head of the church. They had the right then to kill anybody they wanted to, and they killed 68 million Protestants by their own record. How many millions of billions have they deceived with their doctrine? As I told you the other day, when the church gets out of here, there'll be 4 billion people in the world, and 4 billion people in the world will be deceived, all but the 144,002 prophets. So that's how many people believes his doctrine. It's the doctrine that he comes up with. He was crowned king of Rome and a king's word. He can do anything he wants to. But now let's just take this something in a hurry now. We'll pick it back up tonight. He is ruler. He is ruler of all of this. I'm going to just stop in the middle of this, and I'll just take it back up here tonight, because if I go any further, I got too much more to go. He's ruler. Do you see what I'm talking about? The false prophet comes to the place that he has a crown. See, the seal said a crown was given unto him. He has a sword. He goes forth killing. He kills anybody that gets in his way. You look at all these people now. You think people ain't still mean enough to do it. You look all across the land of the United States now, and they'll have a guy that's fixing to testify, and all at once he disappears. I mean, all kind of crimes now. Yet they have a right. Now listen. The Catholic Church ruled the world through the Dark Ages. And that was where your red horse come through there. The sword was his word that he done it by. And do you know that a Catholic... Now listen. The Baptist and Methodist ain't no different. The reason I say them, because I come down through there. I'll prove that to you in a second, too. The Catholic Church says you can go down to the priest. All of us has heard about confessions. You know, you go down to the priest and confess your sins and he forgives you. Do you know that the Catholic Church gives the people the right to pay for their sins before they are committed? Do you know that much about them? In other words, if I was going to kill somebody, I don't have to wait until after I get through killing him to go confess it to the priest. I can go tell the priest what I'm going to do. And he'll forgive me before I do it. Now, that's how deceiving they are. Do you realize? Now, we all come down. Basically, what's sitting here, a few were Pentecostals, but basically we were Baptists and Methodists. Things like that. You say that wasn't in our church. We had a deacon in the Baptist church that we were in that was running around with a woman. And finally her husband killed him. And do you know half of that church would not believe that on that man? After he had been killed in her yard. The man went to court and told what he saw. He saw him in bed together and run around the house. The man ran out the door and he shot him. They said, "Did you kill him?" He said, "I don't know, but I shot him." They turned the man loose. There was that much evidence. They turned the man loose that was involved in it. Didn't even take him to court. I mean, they took him to court and found him not guilty. But now listen. You and I come through that same thing and you think it ain't right, but if you'll think back to those churches you were in, that you had deacons. That's what hurt me when I was 18 years of age. That's what hurt me until I finally accepted Jesus Christ when I was 18 years old. Because I lived a better life than those people did in the church. I didn't drink as a sinner. That don't make me no better. But it just makes somebody that can stand and tell you about it. And then people don't like for me to tell that. They think I'm getting exalted. I'm just telling the flat truth. I didn't drink when I was a sinner. I wouldn't run around with a married woman when I was a sinner. I had morals about me that I wouldn't decay them. As a sinner. And then when I looked at those people in the church and I saw them living the lives they lived, I didn't want what they had. And listen now, I don't want what the popes of this message has got. Now, if that's Jesus, God knows what I'm talking about. And I ain't talking about one person no more than anybody else. Anybody hears these tapes. But I'm talking about Jesus. If Jesus Christ lives the way the people of this message claim they live and that God is leading them, I don't want no part of it. That's why I stand today as I do, still like I do in a church like I do. I don't want no part of that. That's the Antichrist doctrine. And that will kill me finally. It's already killed my word. And will finally kill me if I go on far enough. Who worries about that part of it? What I'm trying to get you to see is one thing. I don't want no part. I don't want to say that the Jesus of this Bible will go out and do the things the people of this message do and claim and then try to find from Brother Branham something to justify them doing it. There's people in this message got enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. They say, "Brother Dale, you got a temper. There's one thing about it. I'll go repent of mine." to the people, not just go to God. You can't do something contrary to a person and then go to God and get forgiveness. You got to go to the person, and then you can go to God. There's people in this message that would do anything in the world just about it that a sinner wouldn't do. I've worked and taught and lived and been around sinners that had more morals about them than 85% of the people of this message. And I don't want no part of it. I'm truthful. I mean, I don't mean that I don't want no part of the message. I don't want no part of that they call the message when they can live like that and try to justify it by what Brother Branham said. I'm bad enough as it is. I do enough as it is without going like that. That's what I'm talking about, your real revelation of your Antichrist and your real revelation of your false prophet. Because notice your false prophet under the second seal and see if Brother Branham didn't take it to the anointed ones at the end time now. Because that's where he started off at. You'll read it. I could give you the page number. It's right at the beginning of the second seal. He starts talking about the false prophets. Because that's what it is. What is it? It's a false prophet. It's false prophets now. Not just the Pope of Rome. It's the Antichrist spirit that has become incarnate in people's doctrines today, that they can preach anything in the world and claim Brother Branham preached it. They can preach any kind of doctrine and try to read it out of the books. They can preach any kind of doctrine, as I said, from free love to concubines to everything in the world, and claim Brother Branham taught it. And condemn you for not going along with it. Ain't that what the Bible says there in Romans? Where it says they riot and all these different things that they happen. That doesn't mean go out here and burn down buildings. That ain't the kind of rioting they're talking about. That means just go out here and enjoy your festivities and live like the world. And then they condemn you because you won't go along with them. Homosexual man years ago, a person told me about it that he'd read where this homosexual, he said, today we are the minority, but said one day you will be the minority. Well, that's the day we're living in. Dishonest, good people are the minority now, where it used to be the majority. They have gone totally insane, as I said the other day. The prophet said you'd do that. Now you watch this and see if I'm right or not. Now you check this and see if I'm right or not. You ministers of the message that would hear this tape, check it and see. Brother Branham said after every revival, that a revival would go forth, and while that revival was going forth, the insane asylums would be filled. Is that true? I mean, I can find it for you if you'd like. But he said the insane asylums, he said in the days of Luther, when he was preaching his message, he said the insane asylums were filled. Bring that down to now. You had fairly decent people, even after the prophet. Up to the time that he went off the scene. But bring it down to now. What would he be saying now when 300 and 400 accounts, excuse me, it said 200 or 300 accounts of people trying to put razor blades and needles and all kind of glass and stuff into children's candy and all during, and look all across the land during this Halloween season, people was afraid to even go anywhere. It's hard to do. You can't even go into the store now and buy a piece of candy unless you're scared somebody's, or an apple that somebody orange or something, somebody stuck a needle in and shot cyanide into it. You better pray over everything you eat. Now you better ask God to sanctify everything you eat. Oh, I go to a store where the good Christian people run the store. That ain't got nothing to do with who comes in there. You better pray over everything you can before you eat it. Piece of candy on down, because they can shoot poison through it. And you'll never know it. People have gone insane. Then that means a revival's here. That means it's going on right now. The revival to the bride. And people's done missed it. The revival to the bride is a revealing of the Word. Brother Branham said every time that message would sweep out, he said a message would go forth and people would get kind of relaxed. He said then the people begin to try to line up to that message, he said a fresh message would sweep out to catch them. I see some people are trying to line up to the message, and I see the message sweeping out now to pick them up. It's the last one, it'll pick them up too. And where's the people now? But as I said now, brothers on the tape, if you hear this, I'm talking to my people. If what a lot of people calls religion, salvation, I don't want no part of it. If that's what they call religion, I don't want no part of it. I stand just as I did when I was a Baptist that stood there, or before then, when I looked at them as an 18-year-old young kid that knew better. Old deacon standing one night at the church there, young group coming in to sing for us at a revival, an old deacon, old enough to be the daddy of them kids that was coming in, standing there just looking at them girls as they was going by like that. And I said, hey, brother, I think you're doing something wrong. Man, he was old enough to be my daddy. I said, I think you're doing something wrong. Oh, the Bible says to look on my heritage. I said, might have done that, but it didn't say lust after the women. I still believe the same way tonight. I haven't had to change from that. This message hasn't changed my beliefs about trying to live right. You can call me a legalist. You can call me anything you want to. But this message hasn't changed my thoughts about living right. I believed then, and I just didn't know then how to live or who was living in me or what was being done, and I was condemned all the time because I was trying to serve God and didn't know how. Stand in a church when they would sing Amazing Grace and I wanted to run the aisles. There was something inside of me just as a Baptist just burning me to death. And two times I saw the altar full of people in that church and I was standing there giving the altar call. And you know what I was telling them then? The same thing I preached this morning. You can't go out there. I'd go out and I'd work my head off trying to get people to come to that church. And you know what the people that I went and talked to said? They said, we're living better lives than your deacon board's living, and I'd have to agree with them. That's all right, Brother Collar. We cut it off there. I had to agree with them. Let's stand together. I still have to agree with the people. I still have to agree that the people of this message are the biggest garbage that's ever been that claims to be Christians. And I don't believe in it. I believe in what the Bible says about a Christian. I believe in what the prophet told us about a Christian. I believe it's true. If it fits me, you, or whoever it fits into, or what it causes, then I still believe it. I still believe the Word's right. The Bible says no liar will enter heaven. Well, then do you lie? The Bible says no murder, no this, no that, no that. You know, that's right. Show me where Brother Branham ever come along and changed the Bible that said those things. He didn't change no Bible. You can't. You can be forgiven of being a liar and you ain't a liar no more. You might have murdered somebody at one time. You can be forgiven of that. You're not a murderer no more. But you're not going there as a murderer. You're going to go there as a Christian. It takes Christ to be a Christian. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. Anyone has a need, and with altars open, we just sing Just As I Am. That'd be a good one. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. I'm sorry for being... I should have just cut it up into two messages to start with. I generally try to do that, but I thought I could get through to a certain point. But we'll just pick it up tonight and go on. And if it takes a few more weeks, same way, we'll go on again. Well, let's just sing this. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to my soul of one dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb. Now don't keep it. Let everything go, because we're talking about a change.